You'll take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. I have some notes there. We probably won't get to them tonight. This will be something that we'll be doing on some Wednesday nights that we have together. But I've been meditating recently on the greatness of God. Your view of God will be demonstrated in the decisions that you make in life. How you view God will be seen clearly in the choices you make, in the things you allow, the things you tolerate. Your view of God will be shown in that. You may say one thing with your mouth, but the actions of your life and the decisions that you make will tell exactly how you view God. If you view God as someone that I'm going to meet one day, that's how a lot of people view, a lot of Christians view Him. Yeah, I'm going to see God one day. Well, wait a minute. What about now? You know, what are you doing now? Some people view God as some kind of this power that's kind of like the Star Wars concept of the Force. And it's somewhere out there in outer space somewhere, and He's out there, and I'm here, and so we're not really connected. And yet, the Bible has something completely different to say about God in that regard. And I think it's important for us as believers to think, all right? Dr. Hobbs used to always say that. Why so many people don't think right? It's because they're not thinking biblically, because they're not spending time in God's Word. They don't know God well because they don't spend time with Him in His Word. That's how He reveals Himself. We call this the revelation of God. He's revealing Himself to us. But if you don't want to know about Him, it's just like, you know, whenever you were got interested, maybe you fellows with a girl, and you started writing letters. I know that's old-fashioned. Now we send texts, you know, or we have little chats that we do with all these different. So I think it really has hurt us in a lot of ways. We don't connect like we used to with a piece of paper and a pen. You can learn a lot about people. Typing out on that is very sterile. Okay, you don't study the font, do you? Oh, tonight he used Times New Roman. Last night, it was, what is it, Oharoni? I discovered that one recently. Matter of fact, that's what this type is. I was so excited about finding another type style. Oh, he really loves me now. And when we get up to Helvetica, that will be it. I know this is the one for me. Do you really study the font? But when you have someone's handwritten note, you know, and they put the little heart on there. I mean, that's just a lot different than the old sterile heart that's on the, you know, the emojis that are there. Am I just weird? I'm just old-fashioned, I guess. There's just something special about a handwritten note. I haven't given up on those, by the way. I still have a box of thank yous in my desk, and I'll send off or I'll fire off a handwritten note. They may not be able to read it, but I try, and sometimes I'll write in block print, which is a little bit easier to read. But, you know, God has chosen to reveal Himself in the Bible. So the way I get to know Him is spending time in His Word. And I'll tell you one thing, spend time in the Psalms. That is one of the richest, most glorious revelations of God in His Word. Psalm 48 begins, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." Notice that. Who's God? Our God. "In the mountain of His holiness." Verse 14, the bookend verses here. "For this God is our God." Now notice what follows. "Forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Don't take that as a termination type thing, like His guidance stops at death. No. His guidance as far as this earthly scheme will come to a conclusion, but you will continue right on. And His guidance will continue right on. Because the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's not just limited to this life. You know, there are no other things that I can think of that you can say are forever and ever. Now, when we were in middle school, we used to put love forever and ever. Okay? How many girls, guys, did you write that to? Okay? Love forever and ever. I remember we used to have a tree out there outside of the academy building, and I went out there and carved my initials in it, plus, and I carved the initials of another girl. You know? Problem was, she didn't know I liked her. Okay? I just carved it in the tree. Years later, we were out there trimming the bushes and so forth, and I saw it. It was all distorted. You couldn't tell what it was. And we cut the tree down. Yeah. Love forever and ever. Can't say that, can we? This piece of property is mine forever and ever. Do you know how many times a piece of property has been owned? You think about the property that your house is on right now. Do you know how many times it's been owned? When you leave this earthly scene, it's going to go to somebody else. It's not forever and ever, is it? Well, we're going to have this family piece of furniture in our family forever and ever. The Bible says that all of the things on this earth are going to be destroyed by what? So it's not forever and ever, is it? But who is forever and ever? And who will be our God forever and ever? Jehovah. Yahweh is the term that's used over and over again in this particular psalm. We mentioned a few weeks ago about the name Jehovah, the four-letter Hebrew divine title, is the greatest title of God in the Old Testament. It's a tetragrammaton. In other words, they use four letters only for terms of divinity. Most Hebrew words are three letters. But when it came to a term of divinity, there were four, tetragrammaton. And so this is a special title that's used here. Great is Jehovah. And He is great indeed. Listen to these verses. Job 33 and verse 12. For God is greater than man. Psalm 95 and verse 3, For the Lord is our great God and the great King above all other gods. And then Psalm 145 and verse 3, His greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. Listen to Spurgeon. How great Jehovah is, essentially none can conceive. But we can all see that He is great in the deliverance of His people, great in their esteem who are delivered, and great in the hearts of those enemies whom He scatters by their own fears. Instead of the mad cry of Ephesus, great is Diana, we hear the reasonable, demonstrable, self-evident testimony, great is Jehovah. Isn't it interesting that they use that title in the book of Acts? Great is Diana. But she's not great. She was just a carved image. How many times we misrepresent things in this world? I want us to consider tonight a couple of things before we close. I want you to look at the Hebrew word great that's on the sheet that I gave you there. It occurs 179 times in the Old Testament. And according to Kiel and Delitzsch, who are Hebrew scholars who wrote a commentary on the Old Testament, they say that great means greatness in every sense of the word. It implies magnitude and extent. In other words, it's beyond, it's unsearchable. It is beyond description with language how great our God is. Now again, let me go back to what I said at the very beginning. Your view of God is seen clearly in the decisions you make, the choices that you make, the things that you tolerate and allow, all represent and come from your view of God. How great He is. If you really don't believe that you're going to have to stand before Him someday and give an account, if you really don't believe that every idle word is going to have to be brought into account, if you really don't believe in the future, eternal existence, then your life here on this earth will be demonstrated in the way you believe. You'll have a very shallow existence. Your choices will be shallow. The things that you do, how you use your money, will be dictated by how great God is in your life. If He is preeminent, then you're thinking about Him in the use of your money. If God is great and His magnitude and extent is beyond description, it will affect the choices that you make. I am forever surprised by individuals that just pick up and move somewhere, haven't looked for a church to attend with their family. They just decide, we're just going to move here, we're just going to be there. My sense of this is they have a very small view of God because they haven't thought out, where are we going to worship? I spoke to a man about 8 years ago. He would write to me every once in a while an email. He appreciated the projector, and he told me, he said, Pastor Todd, would you pray for us? We're moving to Arizona. And I said, well, why are you moving? He said, well, we're tired of the cold. And so we're going to move to Arizona. And the next question I ask him, where in Arizona are you moving, and is there a good local church? You know what his response to me was? We haven't even thought about that. Haven't even thought about that. You know how long they stayed in Arizona? 18 months. Great job he got. Great job. Could not find a church where his family could worship. And he said, Pastor Todd, we're moving back to our previous state. Would you pray for us? And I said, what's the reason that you're moving back? He said, we couldn't find a church for our family. Now, why did he go to all that trouble and all that expense and didn't think about where are we going to worship? You say, well, providing for your family is more important. I'm going to tell you something. God will take care of your family if you take care of the spiritual nature of having a family and seeking to worship God as a family. He'll provide everything you need. As we said, He will never leave us or forsake us. But why do we do things? We make choices and decisions to do so. It's your view of God. The psalmist says here, great is Jehovah. You know, David did not always follow through, did he? Remember the time instead of going to battle, he stayed home? How did that turn out? He got another woman pregnant that was not his wife. He had her husband killed because he didn't want, because the man refused to be with his wife. He was trying to cover up his sin. And oh, from that point on, he had to deal with all the problems. He got run out of Jerusalem by his own son Absalom. Why? Because a view of God was clouded by his view of the flesh. Now, I'm thankful that David wrote this verse of Scripture. It's given to us by a pen of inspiration, though. Don't ever forget that. This thought, folks, as we conclude tonight. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I want you to see here these axiomatic assertions. That's the first blanks after great up at the first part of the Hebrew word great occurs. Axiomatic assertions. Now, an axiom or postulate is a statement that is universally accepted as true, which serves as a premise or starting point for further reasoning and arguments. Notice these axiomatic statements that are made here in our passage of Scripture. Great is the Lord. God is. That's a statement of His existence. God is. No proof is given. It's accepted as what? True. We accept it as true. The Lord is greatly to be praised. Why? He doesn't go into the why here. He's greatly to be praised because He is. This God is our God. We have a personal connection. And that personal connection is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen to that? Amen. I have a personal connection with this God. Before, there was a great wall of partition, Paul says in the book of Ephesians. A great wall of partition, but that wall was broken down. And who broke that wall down? It was the blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. And now through Jesus Christ, my sin has been atoned. I receive His finished work for me. And now I have fellowship with the Father. We have a connection now. This God is our God. Our God is forever and ever. He is our guide. He is the one that directs and leads and guides in our life. It reminds me of Hosea chapter 11 and verse 9. When I did our study together in that book some years ago, one of my favorite verses, I have it underlined in my Bible, I am God and not man. What a reminder. Sometimes we start thinking we're God. You know, I can do whatever I want to do. You better look out. There's someone that's bigger than you are, and He can do whatever He wants to do. And you're going to have to give an account for Him someday, either at the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne judgment. Either way, it's the same judge. We're going to have to give an account. Our God is great. Don't ever allow your thinking to be affected by the culture that changes your view of God. I've heard so many times of people who were once Christians and now they're not. They don't want anything to do with God anymore. You know what happened? This is what happened. Their view of God was diminished. Somewhere along the way, their view of God was diminished, and it got lower and lower and lower, and their view of themselves got greater and greater and greater. Mark it down, folks. That's what happens. You better have God's view of Himself. And if you have God's view of Himself, His greatness and His power and His glory and His might, then you'll stay out of trouble. You'll stay on the right pathway because God is great. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your Word. Oh, how powerful it is. Simple verses of Scripture, but it reminds us of how wonderful and how powerful and how great You are. Oh, how easy it is to slip into the mode of the culture that hates Thee, hates any thought of Thee, seeks to destroy in the minds of people any thought of God. Cannot have that, because that takes away from the culture's view of self. I pray that You might work in our hearts, dear Father, that we might view Thee as we ought, and that it might affect every decision, every choice, how we use our money, the places we go, the things that we do. Help us to understand that that's all affected by our view of Thee. I pray that we might have a right view, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.